Hey, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and also every podcast catcher you can think of, an iHeartRadio, YouTube. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, makeupless in a hotel room because we had to reschedule this, but this is a very special show. First off, it's special because my co-host that everybody's been asking, hey, what happened to her? Are you guys mad at each other? We're not mad at each other. She's right here. Hannah Bond.
Hi, guys. Hey, I'm back.
She's Bob. For a little bit. She's the host of Vegans Uncensored. Now, hi, Anna.
Hi.
Just like old times, huh?
Better because we got a little something special down here in these little boxes.
That's what she said.
I'm not sure what she means by that. I've always thought you had something special down there in your little boxes, but you're joined by your co-host on Vegans Uncensored, and you know, the woman I've had a crush on forever. And, you know, what are you going to do? It's Mary Zane with her beautiful new Halloween hair.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? Happy to be here.
And I like that you gave that faux shocked look like this is something you did not know. When I have a crush on a girl, I just want to let you people know my eyes go like this. It's very obvious. And the reason you two are on is because I know you two are super fans of a particular movie, a horror movie, Terrifier. Last year we had, she's got the shirt. And last year when Hannah was on the show, I asked what was her favorite horror movie, and she said Terrifier. And here we have Art the Clown himself, David Howard Thornton.
Yay!
Hi, David.
What's up, guys?
Like we
Thanks
just
for having
we,
me.
We've been talking for like 10 minutes, and David is the coolest.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a really fun show. And before we get started, I'm cheating because obviously I can't bring an energy drink on the plane, so I did not bring my usual energy drink, so I'm just drinking water here. But
ooh, gutsy.
But
sure, it's water.
Yeah.
But it is the luck.
But we are sponsored by Raise Energy Drinks, and I would show the can to you if I could. Raise energy drinks, the best energy drinks. You can't get them in stores. You can get them at GNCs, gyms, or the better yet, get 15% off. Go to the podcast description in any podcast catcher or on YouTube. We have a code, 15% off, the best energy drink in the world. Raise energy drinks. They got flavors like Galaxy Burst, Baja Lime that tastes just like Baja Blast with Taco Bell. They have also South Beach would taste like a pina colada, which I have at home. And I can't wait to drink, but the best part of it, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. And speaking of zero crash, one more thing that we have to say, our newest sponsor, and it has to do with Renegade Radio. If you're listening to Renegade Radio, they have Kushna. They have CBD now. And I am told the gummies are delicious. They have white chocolates. And the bath bombs will make you just relax and feel silky smooth. So go to renegadekush.com, renegadecbd.com. And I see that light in David's eyes. Like every guest we've ever had, he's like, how can I get some? But you can get yours if you go to renegadekush or renegadecbd.com. So Hannah, I'm going to start with you.
All
when
right.
did you first see Terrifier and what was your reaction?
It was late at night and I was kind of going through Netflix and I'm like, huh, what's this? I put it on and immediately I fell in love. I was like, and I think
well, my the clown or with the David next or day.
I fell in love. Yeah, of course I fell in love with David. No, I fell in love with the acting. Yeah. The acting. Just how well it was put together, and it reminded me of when movies were really good and it wasn't just nothing but special effects and bomb. This and that, and just the way you move, you don't even have to say anything, you just scare the shit out of people, you know. You little, if you guys are not on YouTube, I'm like doing his little finger thing that he does,
right? Art the Clown, if people have not seen Terrifier, and I recommend that they do, is silence. How much of a challenge was that for you, David?
That was very challenging for me because I'm the type of guy that never shuts up. So
we could tell. That was at the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. I think Damien, my director, was always just like trying to get us to keep rolling so they could just get me to shut up. So I was like, oh, rolling. Or like, I think sometimes they weren't really rolling. They're just using an excuse to shut me up. So I was like, yeah.
Because you do the silent laugh, you do the silent scream. Was there any time in Terrifier or even Terrifier 2 where you slipped up and sounds came out?
Oh yeah, a few times. It really happened more when I like. Well, there's a funny story I'll tell you in a second, but there's one that like most times it happened like when I was like getting hit or something like that. Because instinctively you want to do some kind of exhale or a grunt or something like that when you get stabbed or hit or something like that. And I'm like, oh, because I try not to actually make a sound even when we're filming, even though I know they can edit it out, you know. But it still happens sometimes where you'd want to let out a little or something like that. It's like, oh, nope, he doesn't make the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the funny story is there was a time, this is kind of an embarrassing story, but when we're doing part two, it's the scene, you probably see me in the trailer where I'm swinging down with the club. And we're doing one take, and I guess it was the beef tips we had for dinner that night, but something squeaked out of me, and I was like, whoops. And I kept trying to go, but I hear the whole entire crew just start cracking up. I'm like, oh, y'all heard that. I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, apologize to my co-star too. I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's the beef tips. I'm sorry.
And they're still rolling and you're talking. And then,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're all right, shut up.
Oh, yeah. I hope Damien puts that on the blooper reel or something like that because it's hysterical.
Oh, that's great.
Oh yeah, so it's like, yeah, well, you can't have fart without art, so there you go. So he is silent but violent. So
I mean, they could add that in as something like horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, like that wouldn't be the worst thing if it was actually included in the film. I mean,
right.
I think a lot of the fans of the movies are not like wouldn't have a problem with like fart jokes. So
Yeah, but this was not supposed to happen. Yeah, everybody lost it.
Farts.
Yeah.
It's always silent, but well, he's the epitome of silent but deadly.
Yeah, exactly.
In a sense. Now, Mary, what was the first time you saw Terrifier, and what was your reaction? Obviously, you've seen your cosplay as Art the Clown.
Yes, yeah. Well, you've seen my costume that I wore quite a few times. And actually, the first time that I met David a few months ago in Los Angeles, I wore my costume, so I had to.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so it was a few years ago. A good friend of mine, Danya, she and I, for years, every single week, we have movie nights. And usually it's a horror movie, not always, but most of the time. Mm-hmm. And surprise there, right? I don't remember who it was, but someone on Instagram kept posting pictures of Art the Clown. And I've had an obsession with clowns since I was a kid because, you know, my brother, Mark and Hannah, you guys both know my brother. He's a magician, but he started as a professional clown, you know? So I've always loved clowns. And like, when I was a kid, I was introduced to Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and that kind of sparked something. So I've always loved creepy clowns, and I kept seeing pictures of Art the Clown, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? Like, I need to see this movie. So eventually I told her, like, I'm just going to find it on DVD and we're just going to watch it. It just looks like it's really creepy and fun. And we were obsessed. And then I got my dad to watch it, who's 71.
Right. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. I met him.
Oh my God. He's like me. When he sees like really gory scenes and stuff like that, he just laughs his ass off. So yeah.
Well, I will tell you that I did play the brief YouTube clip of you in the pizza parlor for my mom. No real door, but it's a very suspenseful scene.
Right.
And she loved it. She's like, this guy's great.
Awesome. But, great.
So you're doing very well amongst the parents, but that brings me to, you were saying that, it brings me to what do you think clowns are scary, David?
Oh boy, I think what's kind of scary about them is because they walk that thin line with the uncanny valley, and it's they're very human like but not human like. Everything's exaggerated with them, and I think that's what's really freaky to people, especially when they're silent, because that's even less human like. Like with Art, you know, it's like when he gets stabbed, there's no sound coming out of him. So you just see the silent scream.
He does honk the horn once in a while.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, that sounds not coming from him directly. That's coming from all of his stuff.
Well, so, I was doing the honk the horn, but apparently it honks everywhere else. But yeah. But the other question was, and this is my experience, too. I had a similar experience with Mary, is that people are aware of Art the Clown that have not seen the movie. Mm-hmm. Art the Clown's everywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I've noticed that when I go to conventions now, there's like so many vendors that have artwork of art, and that's really cool. And I see all these other vendors that have our Trick or Treat studio masks and all that kind of stuff too. It was like, it's very surreal.
Yeah, I mean, you've become like the, you know, people have been for years trying to get a new Freddy, new Jason, new Michael Myers, and this little independent event movie pops up and you're everywhere.
Go figure too, because it's like, there's so many scary clown movies out there too. So for us to stand out like that's really cool. And like, it basically is just us and, you know, Killer Clowns and of course It.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, people think there's a whole like art Pennywise apparently that, because the newer It and Terrifier kind of came out around the same time.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a whole rivalry now. A lot of art clown fans are like, fuck Pennywise and vice versa.
I love it. I love it because that's the thing Damon intentionally did with his creation of art when he was creating the character. He's like, well, you know, he's coming up with a clown character. It's like, well, how do I make this clown character? It's like, well, you know, let's first of all look at Pennywise. Now let's make art the complete opposite of Pennywise. So, you know, he doesn't have hair. He's black and white. He's completely silent. He uses props. That's why he did that. He's like, let's make him the anti-Pennywise that way.
Right. Yeah, I personally think you blow every horror character out of the water.
Oh, thank you. That's saying a lot. Michael Myers,
you know, everybody.
Because I personally, I think Freddy's my favorite. I consider Art to be the bastard child of Freddy Krueger and Harpo Marx. So
I mean, it might be a little difficult because Freddy, you know, he's kind of a smart ass. Maybe you can just do some props with him when you guys joke with each other before you kill someone, you know?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. That would be great.
That would be a fun crossover movie.
Yeah, oh, Art versus Freddy. Versus Art.
Yeah. Oh, that would be stuff of dreams.
WatchMojo.com listed Art the Clown as the third scariest clown of all time.
Mm-hmm.
A movie clown, which is pretty great for an independent movie that never got released to theaters.
Yeah.
The only two that are above you, which Pennywise is number one. And, you know, you can't really argue with that. He's the most popular.
Oh, no.
The clown from Poltergeist is number two. I didn't even remember there was a clown in Poltergeist.
I didn't remember that.
Wait, was it the little, wasn't it a doll?
The doll.
It's not even like a character.
Oh, yeah, that thing's adorable.
And then it strangles.
What's scary about him?
Well, we think you're adorable, Art, too. So we're like, oh, look at him with his little hat.
And then he kills you.
Yeah.
Because you touched the hat. You don't touch the hat.
But here's the weird thing. You were not the first Art.
No, I was not. Our first Art was Mike Gianelli, who was Art in All Hallows Eve and the original short film Terrifier. Night Circle.
Right.
Yeah.
How much did his performance, because I tried to watch All Hallows Eve. I had such a busy week.
Mm-hmm.
How much of his performance is still with you?
I took a lot from like what he was doing, you know, especially the silence and all that kind of stuff, some of the mannerisms, but I decided to tweak it some. I decided to make it more clownish, add more of the physical aspects to him. And I wanted to, like, you know, instead of doing the simple wave like everybody else does, especially like Pennywise, I wanted to do like a creepier wave with the fingers more involved instead of the whole hand waving and stuff like that. And I wanted to add more of the humor to the character as well, because I'm like, he is a clown. So he's got to be humorous. But how I look at it is like, you know, how other clowns are, they're trying to be funny to bring amusement to other people. He's being funny just to bring amusement to himself.
Right.
And obviously, you've probably been asked this a million times.
When's part two coming out?
No, not that one. Your movements, that too. Your movements. Did you study any like kind of jiu-jitsu or just what did you study to have his movements? They're just so peculiar, and you just don't see them on anybody else.
Well, I've been basically a lifelong student of like physical comedy and like clowning and stuff like that, because I like my parents and grandparents gave me a great education in film, starting off, you know, the old silent film era, like, you know, Chaplin, Keaton, you know, Marx Brothers, Laurel and Hardy, all that kind of stuff. But also my aunt gifted me a box set of video cassettes when I was 13 of Mr. Bean. And I would just watch those over and over and over and over and over because I love that style of comedy, that silent, you know, mischievous type of character. And I was like, oh, I'd love to play a character like this one day. So I really took that into consideration. So when I started doing a lot of community theater, I did a lot of children's theater, especially, again, kids are more into physical comedy than they are into the verbal comedy. So I really was fine tuning my skills doing all these like children's shows. And then I was lucky enough after I moved here to New York, I toured with How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the musical, for 5 years. And I was understudy for the Grinch. And our Grinch was the amazingly talented Stephen Carl, who was Robbie Rotten on the show Lazy Town. And Stephen was actually professionally trained in clowning and physical comedy. And so he was able to take what I had done and he would give me pointers on how to fine tune my skills. And so it was like, I had basically 5 years of a master's class with like one of the best in the business. And so when I went into doing art, I had just done my last year of Grinch the year before. So that was very fresh in my mind. And so I just added a lot of what Stefan was doing with Grinch and Robbie Rotten into art. And I just kind of mashed all my life experience in with that too. That's, like I said, I wanted to bring more of that aspect to of the clowning of, you know, that character to art, because I think it makes him a little bit more interesting. Instead of him just being your typical silent character where, you know, villain that just goes around just killing people, I think it's kind of fun having a little bit of wink and nod to the audience and a little bit of, you know, theatricality to him. I think it makes him stand out a little bit from everybody else.
Your performance and the direction is what separates it from just any old horror movie, you know, no matter how bloody it is. But what I was interested in when I was researching you is, you know, everybody thinks that you're like an overnight success, I'm sure. But you've been working your ass off for 15 years.
Yeah.
Terrifier was the role after 13, 14 years. You were waiting tables until you got that role.
Yes, yes. I was doing odd jobs here or there all around Manhattan. A lot of off-Broadway shows. Did a lot of voiceover work for like animated shows and video games and stuff like that. So that was my thing, was doing voices. That's what I do. I do over 200 voices.
Right.
About 20 different dialects, but I'm known now for being silent, which I think is ironic.
That's very ironic, because I saw your YouTube tape today of the, 100 impressions in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Very impressive, although you did
miss
James Stewart and a couple other things, but that's 10 years ago. It's not here or there.
Yeah.
But and a lot of cartoon impressions, but I heard that you almost became the new Jim Carrey, not just the Grinch, but on Living Color, you had auditioned and they liked you.
Yeah. That was like years ago too, is they had actually seen my impression video and I had just gotten off touring with Grinch, I think my second year or something like that. And they sent me a message like, hey, apparently the producers there at Fox saw my impression video. They're like, have you ever thought about doing comedy? I'm like, have I? And they said that, you know, the Marlon Wayans was very interested in me for basically the Jim Carrey tract and what they were trying to reboot in Living Color at the time. And so they wanted me to just throw together a reel of a bunch of characters. And I had never really considered doing that kind of stuff before. Like, you know, that kind of stuff. So I just did stuff off the top of my head, just basically improvised in front of a camera for about an hour or so, kind of edited together a bunch of weird characters and submitted it, and they liked it. And then the whole thing within Living Color just fell through with Fox. So nothing ever happened, but it was kind of cool knowing like the, you know, the Wayans brothers were interested in me for a while. So I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they crush you, because you, I mean, tall, skinny guy who does impressions, great with physical comedy. You could have been the new Jim Carrey.
Oh, it'd been great. Oh, I was so upset that all that fell through, because I was so stoked. Because I mean, I grew up in Living Color. That's, you know, I remember when Jim Carrey was just known as the white guy.
There's James Carrey on the show.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love In Living Color. That was my jam back in the day. I watched that over SNL back in the day.
How ironic that instead of being on the show known for Homie the Clown,
yeah, no kidding. Homie, don't play that.
Yeah, that would be great If we can get Damon Wayans and you in the same room.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious. He just comes over and baps me in the head.
And then you give him one of that, one of those like really slow, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Mary, I know you have tons of questions. Please.
I have a list.
Oh, please. I tend to talk.
I know. Shut up. I'm kidding. one of Hannah and I have a mutual friend, Brandon, who, mm-hmm. when I told him we were going to be speaking with you, he really wanted me to shoot this question at you. And it's funny that you mentioned Charlie Chaplin earlier, because his question was, with art being somewhat reminiscent of Charlie Chaplin in the sense mm-hmm. of being silent but humorous, have you ever thought about what art would sound like if given the opportunity to actually speak?
Oh, yeah. I've thought about that. And it's like, I think it would be funny if he just sounded like proper British gentleman. I think that would just be hysterical. It's like just some weird voice. It just like, because everybody would expect some kind of creepy voice or sinister voice to come out. I think it would just be so funny if it's just like, oh, hello there.
Very like
kind of the Mark Hamill
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, yeah. It's
kind of the Mark Hamill approach though.
Oh yeah. I do the Mark Hamill approach when I do my cameo videos just for shits and giggles, because I just like, I'm gonna throw my Joker voice into it just for fun.
Yeah, because I mean, he did a British, but yeah, that's a great question. I didn't even.
Yeah,
Silent movies before we're gonna have Hannah ask a question, but mm-hmm. have you ever seen The Man Who Laughed?
I have, yes. Yes.
I can see that. I saw that a lot in your performance.
Yeah, it's really weird. There's like, I look a lot like, oh my God, I just totally blanked on his name, the actor, the Conrad Veidt that played him.
Yeah,
it's really, really weird, because that's who they based the Joker on too.
Right, it's a silent movie from the 20s or teens that they based the Joker on, and it's very Art the Clownish.
Yeah, yeah, it's very creepy. He's got that permanent rictus grin on his face. It's just like,
yeah. And Hannah, do you have any questions for David?
Actually, I have a fan question. It's one of my questions too. Since I'm on my phone now and I can't read it verbatim, so. My girlfriend, Brittany, she is a huge, huge Terrifier fan, and she wanted to know, how many scenes did it take to saw the girl in half? And how did you feel about filming that part?
Boy, that was a pain in the ass, because we didn't film it all in like, you know, consecutively. We first filmed all of Jenna Cannell's parts, who played Tara, because she was... filming two films at the same time. She had to leave us to go film The Bye Bye Man like 2 days mm-hmm. later. So we filmed all her stuff first, and we filmed that in New Jersey at that horrible building that we were in. That it's like that building is exactly how it looked like on the inside. None of that was set dressing. That was all there. But so we filmed that stuff first, and then we had to change locations due to some drawbacks, and we filmed the rest with Catherine and the silicone body that I actually cut through on Staten Island back like in January. Mm-hmm. And that was miserable, because it was so cold there. There was no heat or anything like that. It was 20 degrees night that Catherine was having to film, and she's doing extremely exposed, covered in blood. So that's even worse for her. And it was, I don't know how many takes it took, because we can only film with her 30 seconds at a time, because it's so dangerous to put a human being upside down like that
right.
in an extended period of time. So we'd have to keep on, we'd film for 30 seconds and swing her back up, let her rest, and do it again and again. So that was very stressful night. All of us were really concerned about her well-being. So that was like probably the one night on set no one was joking around, because we knew how dangerous that was. But then another night we came back and filmed me with the put cutting the body apart and with the intestines and stuff like that falling out. And that was a lot more fun, except the intestines, when we had originally were set to film with Catherine, we were supposed to film 2 weeks earlier, but there was flooding in the room that we were supposed to film in, so we had to postpone that. But they didn't refrigerate the intestines. And it was just sausage casings with fat in them and stuff, so it wasn't like actual intestines, thank God. But they forgot to refrigerate them. And so we bring them out, and it's like, oh, just rancid smelling. Just like, oh my God. And
especially
I accidentally.
Two vegans that are on the show.
Oh, yeah. It was horrible. And I accidentally cut into one of them. So all this stuff just starts splooshing out everywhere. I was like, oh. So it's a good thing we weren't filming with sound that night, because you would have just heard the whole entire crew retching on the side.
Yeah. I recently showed it to my brother and he's just sitting back. He's like, good luck getting through that hip bone.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get through the hips.
Yeah, how medically correct is that?
Oh, what's that?
How medically correct is that?
Oh, that's not medically correct at all. That hacksaw would never have gone through all of that bone. That's just like, no.
Well, maybe a chainsaw.
Yeah, maybe a chainsaw, but no, hacksaw would have definitely been like, boink. Yeah, it's like, I discovered how, when we're filming part two, not too much of a spoiler, but I'm using a bone saw at one point, and I discovered actually how hard it is to saw through a bone, and I was like, oh my God, this takes a lot more effort than I thought. Oh my gosh, I made it look easy in the first film.
But you're superhuman.
Yeah,
so you can do anything. Okay. Well,
I think it's funny that the one time they had a naked woman hanging upside down is the only time nobody joked. But tell me, in Terrifier 2, there has to be a scene that tops that scene, right?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God,
you can't tell us what it is, but this is going to make that look like child's play, right?
And I will say, in a weird way, COVID kind of helped us with this, because what we had originally written was really good. And we had already started filming that right before COVID, and then COVID hit, the lockdown hit here in New York. And so we're like, well, now we have more time to actually make all the prosthetics. So Damon just went back to the drawing board, and he's like, you know what, if we're going to try to top the hacksaw scene, let's really top it. And so he's like, I'm going to add more to this kill than was originally intended. And what we already filmed was satisfactory. It was just the beginning of the kill. And one of our crew members, who's a huge horror fan, had to excuse himself from set for the original stuff because he was getting woozy. So that's telling you what we were already doing. So when we came back... when we came back, we filmed it right before Christmas last year, and what was originally just supposed to be a 2-day shoot turned into basically a 5-6-day shoot, because there are so many practical elements to this kill scene. It's basically several minutes of art just slaughtering somebody relentlessly, and it's just, I think people are going to be like, oh my God, dude, just stop. This enough is enough. Like, It's Damien was even editing it, and he's like, dude, I'm getting nauseous right now doing this. And he showed it to his, family, the rough cut of it during Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys. And his mom's like, who are you? What is wrong with you? And she's the one that named him after Damien from The Omen. So it's like, she was the one that introduced him to horror films as a kid.
Oh, wow.
So for her to even go, dude, you're kind of going far with this. So I was like, why not? Why not? Let's push that envelope. That's what we say. We're like, let's just aim for the fences and go crazy. It will get people talking regardless. So we'll probably get a lot of hate for it, because it's violent. It's very just, oh my God, I can already hear the hate mail coming in. Oh my God, it's so misogynistic and it's so hateful. And I was like, yeah, he's the bad guy. This shows you how sick and depraved he truly is.
Hey,
we're not trying to,
We're
not trying to pussyfoot around it like a lot of horror films do now. We're going full throttle with it.
Any publicity is good publicity for the film. They're going to be like, why are you saying this? I have to watch it.
Oh, that's why people want to go see Joker, because they're saying, oh my gosh, this film's so controversial and violent and all that. And
come on, complain some more. We'll rake in some more fans. Let's do this.
That's what it does. It makes people want to see it more, because they're like, my God, I got to see what people are talking about. And like, all that stuff with Joker, what they were saying is violent and gory. I'm like, oh, that's nothing. That is nothing compared to what we're doing. I hear like the new Halloween movie is a lot more violent and gory. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cute. We'll see.
That's cute.
Adorable.
It's funny, because just you talking about it that way makes me excited and want to see it, because I mean, I think a lot of people who are fans of the movie to begin with are not, are probably not like scared of horror movies to begin with, and probably not easily, probably not easily offended. But I mean, that sawing in half scene, I remember the first time we watched that, like I said, I was watching it with a friend of mine. You know, it takes a lot to get a reaction out of us. I mean, at a very young age, I was watching like John Waters films and stuff like that, and seeing Divine eat dog shit. So it takes a lot to shock me. And I remember
so much has already been done.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember both of us yelling at the TV screen during that scene. And I think I was yelling, oh my God, they went there.
Like, yeah, it takes a hacksaw to the pussy to really do something. But I had to say, I had the exact same reaction. I'm like, they're going to cut away or something's going to happen. I'm like, oh no, they're showing it.
Yeah,
oh,
that's what the I thought
best
too.
Part. I always call them my like terrifier virgins. I'll have them come over. Why are you making me watch this? And I get like this. It's hilarious.
Oh, so great. It's even when I first read the script, all that description was in there about what he was doing. And I just assumed that was just for, you know, our sake, just to know what he was doing. And
they would cut away or something.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, they're just totally going to cut away. And Damon's like, oh, no, we're actually going to show it. I'm like, oh, hell yes. And I think that's what sold both Catherine and I on it, too. We're just like, we're going to show it. And that's going to get people talking. So it's like, yeah, this is going to stick out to people. Because especially now, they don't show kills that much anymore in horror films.
No, they don't. They don't. Well, I'll tell you what else they used to be.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what else was shocking and rule-breaking is when Art grabs the gun and uses it.
Yeah.
Nobody does that.
Yeah, it's like
probably people in real life do that.
Yeah, and that I remember that night we filmed it. I was like, wow, this is going to be very controversial with people.
Freddie doesn't do it. Michael doesn't do it. Jason doesn't.
Chucky does. Imagine
Jason,
Ghostface does.
Does he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chucky's used guns several times.
I gotta use that, but I mean,
speaking of Chucky, her second question was, what do you think about the new Chucky series coming out? Just so I can throw that out.
I'm excited. I haven't been able to watch it yet. Yeah, I can't wait to start watching it because, oh my gosh, I'm like, I Alex is one of my good friends now. So it's like, I am so excited. I love those movies. Earlier this year, I went back and watched all of them in order, which I've never done before. I've just always seen them piecemeal here or there. And I just back to back. And I was like, oh my God, these are so good. They're so good. They're so much fun. And that's what I like about those movies too. They're always finding new things to do with it. They're not just trying to stick with the same thing, like, you know, how the Jason movies are always just like, okay, let's go back to the camp and he kills more people, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, he's not going to come kill us this time. Yeah. Let's drink and, you know, have sex. Here he goes. Like,
they were always evolving the Chucky series, doing new things with his character and stuff like that. So I'm very excited to see where they're going to go with this now too, especially after Cult of Chucky, all that stuff that happens with that. So I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Yeah it seemed.
I was going to say, speaking of Bride of Chucky, if there was a Bride of Art, that would be Mary. And Mary, go ahead. I you got the next question and whatever you want to talk about.
Oh no, it was going to be a Chucky thing, but no, like I said, I do have more questions. So,
well, what was the Chucky thing? Come on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No. I was just going to point out, like, I've only watched the trailer, obviously. I haven't seen the first episode yet, but I was just a little surprised because it seems like it's an older boy or a teenager that has the Chucky doll. So I'm like, how are they going to work that in? Because there was a scene where he looks like he's in high school and he has his Chucky doll with him. And I'm like, it's a little odd to see an older boy or a teenager. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the story. But also, I was pleasantly surprised when I was reading articles about the series that they're not really going to censor him, which is good because Chucky has a potty mouth. There's a lot of fun, and so after reading that, you know, they're going to have the same voice actor and they're going to not really censor him from cussing. I was like, okay, I can watch it.
Yeah. Well, just because... Brad Dourif,
By the way,
but that's the thing, they brought back sucks. Basically.
I hate Zoom. Here it is. I hate it. Go ahead, David.
They've brought back basically the whole, like most of the original cast and crew. I mean, they brought back Christina Lee, Alex Vincent, of course, Don's back directing it and all that. Brad's doing it. Fiona, you know, his daughter's back playing Nico. And so it's just like, that's why I've got faith in it. It's the original crew's behind it. So it's still going to have the kind of love put into it that, you know, was in there before. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be some simple rehash or reboot or something like that.
Like the Scream series? Didn't they have one of those?
Yeah, I actually kind of like the Scream, like especially the third season. I like that one because that or felt like Scream, but I'm excited about the new Scream, like the new movie coming out next year too.
Go ahead, Mary. What was your question?
You know, it's funny because during these conversations, some of the stuff that I was going to ask was already covered. So I guess the only other question was, like while you were reading the script, were there, I know you talked about that, where you were like surprised that they were going to actually do it, but were there any scenes in there that made you kind of think about it later and be like, maybe I should reconsider this, or maybe this is a bit much, or how is this going to potentially impact my career, that sort of thing?
Not really, because I'm like, I like playing villains, and that's what I liked about this script, that it was being very gutsy, because I'm a horror fan myself, and I've gotten kind of tired of all the watered down, sugar-coated, you know, horror films, especially slashers in the past decade or so that have been just playing it safe. I'm like, no, like horror is supposed to be, like horror and comedy, the two genres that are really supposed to be pushing the envelope, and both have been playing it so damn safe this past decade or so. And it's like, I think it, especially comedy, has been dying because of it. Everybody's worried about
pop culture and genre.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's killing comedy. It's killing horror. I hate it. I'm like, let's bring both back in our own twisted way.
Now, when you auditioned for this, how scary were the other guys? How creepy were the other guys?
I have no idea.
Oh, you went in by yourself?
Yeah, I went in by myself. I had no idea who else auditioned for it, how many other guys auditioned for art, what they did. I have no idea.
So it wasn't like a cattle call with like a bunch of people in the room, because, you know, you know auditions. You're sitting there with 20 guys that look exactly like you.
Yeah. It's like when I went in, most of the other actors I saw there were for the female parts. And so I didn't see any other guys that were there for art, but I imagine they came because we all had our own time slots to come in for the audition. So I guess they're calling in at different times during the day and stuff like that. So
smart. You don't want to have that many, serial killer clowns in a room at the same time.
Oh, probably not. No, that's not a good idea.
But, or maybe you do.
Well, maybe Mary does.
And what scene did you pick to do for your audition?
There wasn't a scene. I had no script.
Okay.
I went in there totally blind. It scared the crap out of me because I saw everybody else's scripts. And I was like, oh my God, my agent screwed me over, because I had never auditioned for a feature film before. So this is my first big feature film audition too. And I was like, oh my God, no. So they called me in the room, and I even apologized. I'm like, I'm so sorry, I never got a script. I'm like, oh no, you don't need one. Art doesn't talk. I'm like, okay, so what do you want me to do? And they're like, well, just improvise a scene where you decapitate a guy and you do it really like you're excited about doing it. I'm like, okay. And that's all I was given. They're like, and go. And I just did this weird scene where I don't know where it came from. Just let myself just go.
Even the guy you decapitated the week before.
Yeah. So
that'll be a joke, Mary. You didn't even decapitate anybody in real life. So not a great joke, but you know, it's what I got to
work with. You tried.
I tried.
Gold star. David,
it takes like 3 hours to do the makeup.
Yeah, it takes about 3 hours. It's we've gotten it down a little less now because we've gotten used to it. And like sometimes Damon's able to prep the mask beforehand, put all the paint on it, so it makes it a lot easier. But it takes a while. It takes a little while to take it off too, because all that glue likes to stick. But we recently transitioned. I'm hoping we're going to do this for part three, is use a foam latex mask instead of this gelatin mask. Because the foam latex holds up so much better, because the gelatin likes to disintegrate because the teeth make me drool a lot. Mm-hmm. And so my mouth gets ruined very easily and doesn't stick. And so there's also sometimes you might see back behind the scenes photos of me with Q-tips in my nose. And it's because I would put those up my nose to stop them from running into my makeup, because that would destroy my upper lip and everything like that. So, but like with the foam latex, that's not a problem. It adheres very well and doesn't, you know, fall apart. And when I take it off, it takes most of the glue off with it too, which is great. So I'm like, the only problem with foam latex, it takes longer to make those masks because you have to bake them and stuff like that. So we're hoping like part three will have a bigger budget so we can actually do that with the masks this time. I think we'd all be very happy. So Damien's not having to touch up my mouth every 5 minutes.
And what's in the
so
mouth?
You're saying there's going to be a part three?
Yeah, we totally intend to make a part three. Yeah, it's just like come hell or high water, if we have to do another Indiegogo campaign again with the fans, right, we'll do that.
Yeah.
So what's in the mouth?
I wear prosthetic teeth.
I mean, it's as a character. Well, I mean, because obviously you brush and floss. Like, what is how does somebody's teeth get that bad?
I guess
just what's the thinking teats behind that?
Yeah, it's just like bad dental hygiene. It's just It's like when you don't take care of yourself.
I mean, I guess he's, you know, he's wiping his shit on bathroom walls. I guess he's not the most person in the world.
Oh, yeah. The dude doesn't take good care of himself at all.
That's the part my grandpa threw a fit about. He's just like, you know, just because they didn't want to serve him, he didn't have to go back in there and do the dookie on the wall and kill him. That was rude.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is, though. That's why it's like, God, he's... waiting tables, I've encountered that kind of stuff in a bathroom before. I was asked one time, poor guy's like, go clean that. I'm like, no, I am not cleaning that. I have to carry food out to tables. That's unsanitary. Send someone else in there. This is, this is not, I don't get paid enough to do this. So, nope.
Pretty much what the guy said on the movie, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why I love that line. I was like, I have said that exact thing. I am not paid enough to do this. No, fuck you. Mm-hmm.
So Mary, when you were cosplaying,
how did you? I mean, I've seen that where I'm like, they didn't write their name, but like there was shit on the wall. I'm like, how did you do this?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
scooping and I don't know.
I don't know.
You gotta take your finger and yeah.
It's like grown ass adults do this stuff. It's just like, what is wrong with people?
And let's be honest. And I know it was for a fact, but. Nobody shits that much. That was a lot of shit.
You'd be surprised, you know, you have some Mexican in you and it's just like.
Take too many laxatives, you know.
I mean, I used to wait tables at Denny's. I have also encountered shit on the walls. Mm. Not that much that you could write. I mean, he writes like a whole like paragraph on the wall and then there's left over and that's smeared on the wall. And I'm like. Come on.
4 score and 7 years ago.
Even grandpa doesn't shit that much. Come
Seems
on.
A little 3D. It pops out at you.
Yeah.
So Mary, when you were cosplaying and you met David at the convention, which I didn't know. I wish you would have told me that you guys had met before.
Oh, yeah. Just briefly. Yeah. Just briefly.
Was he in costume?
No.
No.
No. Oh, you did have that little hat on.
I bring my hat with me though, yeah. But we did have the great cosplayer Mr. J there that was cosplaying as art at that convention though. That was great.
Yeah, he's very convincing.
Because mm-hmm. you're doing conventions as yourself and as art.
Yeah.
When you do it as art, you don't talk.
I don't know. I totally do that all in character. I love to do that. It's like we only do that though when Damien comes to a convention because he's the only one I'm allowed to do my makeup. That's an agreement we made with each other because he's very particular with the character. And he's like, if I'm going to do a photo op, his art, he wants it to be done right. He wants the audience, the fans to actually have a real experience. And so that's why I do it totally in character. I don't talk or anything like that, which I have a lot of fun with. I really love to just mess with people, especially in the elevators. That's a lot of fun. Because sometimes you just get stuck in there with people that have a huge fear of clowns.
And elevator stopping.
Oh, yeah. It happened one time where the elevator got stuck and I'm like, oh. And I had my horn too. So I was like,
Sounds scary. You're going to dress up as Halloween as a killer clown this year from the Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which we love. David, what do you think of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Oh, I love it. Love that movie. Such a great movie.
I know you're obsessed with clowns because, I mean, your brother has done some clowning and you know and everything else. But why do you think people are afraid of clowns? Because I never got it.
I have no idea. I remember being a teenager and randomly walking into a Hot Topic and there was a shirt that said like "Can't sleep, the clowns will eat me," and I thought that was really funny. And I think that was the first time that I ever kind of really noticed that some people don't like clowns, which I've always thought was really, really weird. Like, especially like vintage clowns, if you look at them now, they're creepy as fuck.
Oh yeah.
They're very creepy. Yeah. I think they're adorable. I think they're cute. I think they're funny. You know, I personally don't understand why anyone would be afraid of clowns. And sometimes I think people say it just because it's kind of like the cool thing to say, you know, or
it's
the trendy thing to say.
Phenomena.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't always buy the whole I'm afraid of clowns thing.
Hannah, what do you think?
I just think some people are just afraid of their own shadow. Anything scares them.
Are you afraid of clowns, Hannah?
No, there was one point I was when I was little. That's just because I went to a circus for the first time and I was probably six. And a clown came up to me because I was like, you guys are stupid. They're doing all these things. I wasn't impressed. And he slapped my hands together to make me clap so hard they turned red.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
I didn't like them for a little bit just because of that. Not because of the aesthetic. Yeah, exactly. Not because of the aesthetic. It's just because of what they did to me.
Child abusing clowns are not good. I mean, I did.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of
that. Class action lawsuit, okay? All these years later, 30 years later, come on, no.
Yeah.
I dated a clown. She was beautiful. And the only thing was when I took her home, she took her shoes off and her feet were normal size. I was disappointed. Other than that, it was great. But it's a true story. I did the Clown Le Monroe, rest in peace. But I'm not even Catholic. I'm Buddhist. But David, you're a good-looking guy. And also,
oh, thanks.
No, but oddly enough, Bill Sarsgaard, who plays Ape the Clown, is a good looking guy too.
Yeah.
It's so weird that they take these good looking guys and just make them look scary as hell.
So I love it. It's fun. I think
it's Tim Curry or Bill Sarsgaard.
Oh God. Like who do I prefer?
Yes.
Oh my God. That's a hard question.
Fuck Pennywise, just on principle, because we're art clown people. But yeah. Who do you prefer?
I would say probably Tim Curry, because I think he's just like, he's the OG one. Plus, I think he's just more charismatic. But I think Bill did an amazing job himself. I mean, he literally had big shoes to fill there for that role, too. And he did his own thing with it. So that's what I thought was, like, the things that he was able to do with his body were really cool, especially with his eyes, how he can move his eyes independently of each other and stuff like that. So I have to hand it to him. He did a lot with that role.
Yeah.
But
he did make it his own, and that's that's all you can do. I mean, you're not going to top Tim Curry.
No.
But yeah. So, but I was going to say, it's not the only clown you played. You played Joker.
Yes.
Typecasting in a Nightwing. Now, was this a fan film or was this?
It was a fan series. Yes. Yeah, Nightwing Escalation. I was on the third season. We never actually finished the series. I think my last episode I filmed was like 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago now. It's just like,
so this crazy. Was both Terrifier or pre-Terrifier?
It was I was cast as Art and Joker the same week.
Oh, wow.
What a week.
That was, I was like the killer clown week for me. I was like, this is amazing. But yeah, Joker's always been my dream role too. He's my favorite villain of all time. So it's like I'm still really chomping at the bit to actually play him like in a mainstream way, like on at least in a movie, but preferably on a TV series, because that way I would have more time with the character to really experiment with him, flesh him out the way I want to. Because I like the on-screen versions I've seen of him, but like the only one that's actually been accurate to the comic books was the Romero version. That was like accurate to the comics of the time.
Right.
Everybody else has just been doing their own thing, but they haven't been comic accurate. And I've always wanted to bring the comic book to life, like the way Mark Hamill has done with his voice. So like Mark Hamill is what I think is the comic book version of the character. He understands that character 100%. Right. And he's had like 20 plus years to really develop him that way. And so he just gets better and better with it. So it's like, that's who I've modeled a lot of my Joker off of, is Mark Hamill's version. But I add my own thing to it. And I have kind of put a lot of other Joker versions into my character as well, just for homage and stuff like that. But I love the character so much. I think there's so much to him and that I want to explore, that, films really never really get into the whole duality between him and Bruce Wayne. That's what it's the core, crux of that relationship between the two of them. I would love to delve into that.
Well, I'm putting it out in the universe. I think he would be a great Joker for Team Edward to face off in the new Batman series.
Oh, I would love that.
Going mano a mano, I think it would be great. First of all, I think he's going to be a good Batman. I think he would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited.
And here's a hot take. Heath Ledger overrated. I said it. And I'm going to tell you why. Not funny, not scary.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Well, see, my thing with him was like, he wasn't the comic book version of the Joker, but I will hand it to him that he did his own thing with it. And he totally threw himself into the role. It's like, I wasn't sitting there going, oh, that's Heath Ledger. I was like, I totally bought into his performance.
I'm sorry he's dead, and he was a good actor in other movies, but yeah. I didn't. And Jack Nicholson was just doing Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, exactly. That's I love Jack Nicholson, but I was like, yeah, that was Jack Nicholson playing the Joker.
I mean, he did that, and he did the same thing in Witches of Eastwick and other movies. Anyway.
I got to say, Jack was my favorite Joker, and I always get shit for that, but it is what it is.
He was great.
But I prefer the Tim Burton Batman movies, just because they're, to me, they just feel more like in that comic universe and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. Everybody likes the more action-packed ones and everything, but there's just something about, like, Tim Burton's touch that just makes things more, like, believable when it comes to, like, that world.
I definitely prefer the Tim Burton versions too. That just has that right amount of darkness to them. Mm-hmm. Like Gotham has that feel to it. This is like, it feels like its own thing. Comedy. Yeah.
And and you knew where I was going with this. You were actually a guest star on Gotham.
Yes. Yes. I did one episode. I created Solomon Grundy.
You were Solomon Grundy?
Yeah, no, I wasn't him, but I created him.
I
was this orderly that was paid off by the mob to dispose of his comatose body into Slaughter Swamp.
So that, that must have been much fun.
Oh, it was. I had some
for a Batman fan to be on that set. Must have been.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it was great just arriving on set, and I'm like walking down the hall where all the dressing rooms are, and I'm just seeing like Bruce Wayne and Alfred Pennyworth on all these doors. I'm like, oh my God. And then I was walking around the studio, and I just walked into this one room, and it's Wayne Manor. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in Wayne Manor. Oh my God, I'm geeking out right now. And then I walk into the Gotham PD office. I'm like,
It had to be the biggest set you'd ever been on.
Oh yeah, it was. It was amazing. I was like for Slaughter Swamp, they built an actual swamp out on Staten Island because Drew Powell, who played Grundy, they had to sink his body down to the swamp, and they didn't want him to actually go into a real swamp, so they built a pool out there, a heated pool for him to be in. But it looked like a real swamp. I was like, wow, the detail they put into this thing was amazing.
Mary, do you have any more Terrifier questions?
Think so. I feel like a lot of the stuff that was discussed covered the things I was curious about. I know you were talking about like Broadway and like stuff like that. One of the things that I was curious about was I feel like a lot of people assume you're a horror fan, which it kind of sounds like you are, but a lot of people assume that my favorite movie is a horror movie when in fact it's a musical. My favorite movie for many, many years has been Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And people are always like, what? I thought you loved horror movies, and I do. So I'm curious, like, I'm sorry?
It's a great movie.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I hate musicals. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have Hedwig tattoos, so. But I'm curious. Favorite musical, if you have one. okay, maybe not one.
Yeah, like I have few. A few. I would say like my top few. I mean, for one, Les Miserables. I love Les Mis. It's just like, I have seen so many versions of that show, and I love it. I am dying to play Thénardier one day in it when I'm older, because he's just such a great slimy villain. I love those kind of characters. Another one I would say would be Cats. No kidding. I hate Cats.
Especially the movie.
Oh God, yeah. that movie. God. Ooh, I didn't watch it. It just looked terrible.
I can't wait to see it. That's gotta be.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. But also Jesus Christ Superstar is one of my favorites. I just love the music from that. I love a good rock opera. It's just like there's so many good songs in that. Little Shop of Horrors as well is one of my favorite musicals. I would love to play Seymour in that or The Dentist. This is like, but there's some. I love Matilda. I would love to play Wormwood and Matilda. And there's one I would say I've been like, I can't believe they have not made this into a musical yet. And I'm like, come on, it just lends itself to it and it branches into the horror community. It's Nightmare Before Christmas. Why the heck have they not made that into a stage musical yet? Because I would kill to play Jack in that. Because that would be a totally different role for me. It has not. It would be amazing.
I think a few years ago, didn't someone do Beetlejuice? I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, done Beetlejuice, but not Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, they haven't done Nightmare yet. And it already has great music already written for it. And I'm like, come on. And they could do it like you get someone like Julie Taymor behind it who does really good stuff with, you know, puppetry. You could do some really cool visual things. I would just love to see the Oogie Boogie number done on stage and done. It's like, oh my God, it'd be so cool. There's so many cool things you could do with that. I'm like, oh.
I'm surprised Disney hasn't done a live action.
I am too. I really am. It's just because I love the original. It's so good. I was obsessed with Nightmare Before Christmas when it came out. Obsessed. I had a whole book about how they made the movie, and I was constantly drawing the characters all the time. I watched the movie over and over again. I had the piano music to it all. So I love Nightmare.
And the songs are absolutely amazing.
Oh, they're fantastic. It's like Danny Elfman just outdid himself on that one.
You know, I wonder if maybe the reason why they don't do it is because every year, well, with the exception of last year, Danny Elfman does do, I don't know if it tours or if it's just a Los Angeles thing, mm-hmm. but every year around this time between like, I think October and Christmas, they do like a live orchestra version yeah. of it where, you know, he sings, and I've gone multiple times because I'm like, this is the closest I'll ever get to sing Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think the one that they're doing coming up, I know they've done it at the Hollywood Bowl. I think they're gonna have like Weird Al
doing oh my God
the voice of I forgot who he's doing the voice of, and then randomly Eilish
yeah,
I guess she's doing the voice of Sally, I think, or one of the, I don't know.
So it's they're just, not bringing Catherine O'Hara back for that? That's crazy.
They have had her before.
Yeah, I know. I've seen some of the footage from those concerts. I'm like, ah!
Yeah, and and Paul Rubens too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People always forget he's in that.
Yeah. Was it? He was one of the.
He was the devil.
Lock, Shocker, double. Yeah. Lock, Shocker, Barrel. Right.
One of. He was Lock.
Okay, I forget yeah. which one's which. I don't know.
Lock is the devil. Shock, I think. Yeah, I always get Lock and Shock confused. But Barrel is the skeleton.
Okay, so Shock's the girl. The
yeah, I think Shock is the girl. Lock is the guy. The devil's mm-hmm. someone.
So yeah, well,
I might be wrong. People are probably commenting, no, David, you're wrong.
I don't know. Maybe that's why they haven't done it, because that's something that they do every year. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would definitely go see like a live action movie version or a musical. Absolutely.
Oh God. Yeah. Oh my God. It just, I just think there's so much creativity that could be done. So much. It's just such a creative movie in itself, so I can only imagine what they could do visually on stage with something like that, with a lot of cool puppetry and costumes, like especially with the mayor with his head. Oh yeah, Disney. Oh my God, they would totally have the budget for it, mm-hmm. and it would totally pay
you're
for
right
itself.
I'm surprised it hasn't been done. And before you guys got on this tangent, I was yeah. gonna suggest a double feature of us watching Cats in the Room, but
I gotta go.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, I just see which one is worse. But Hannah, do you have any other Terrifier questions?
I do. So if Art had a dog, don't you think she would look a little something like this?
Oh my God!
Black and
yes.
white. That's
she needs so a little hat.
Oh, she's so cute. Put a little hat on her.
Oh.
Well, what Art the Clown could do to that dog, I don't even want to speculate.
Or what
feel
Art
like
the
a
dog.
Hot dog.
The hot you know dog, what? Or what he could teach this dog. The only difference is she's not very silent.
I feel like Art will kill anybody. No judgment there, but I don't think he'd kill an animal.
Yeah.
Especially not a dog.
Okay.
I hope not. Oh, God, please no.
Well, no.
He's evil. He's evil. He'll kill anything, I think.
Uh-oh. No,
but David, tell us, I agree. This has been so much. I mean, we could talk all night, but mm-hmm. tell us what you can about the upcoming Terrifier 2. Now, if you've seen Terrifier, spoiler alert if you haven't, but mm-hmm. it begins with Art looking at a newscast of a mutilated woman on the news, and then ends with that same woman in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So is Terrifier 2 after all this, before the newscast? Is she like the new Saw disciple sort of thing? What's going on there?
It happens the same in the same time period as that newscast.
Okay.
But with a new protagonist. Mm-hmm. So it takes place a year later, but I will say we do start off with how the first movie ended with him in the morgue. Mm-hmm. And I you could see that from the trailer, I think. So that's not really spoiling anything there.
Right.
And- but yeah, this new film is more concerned with this setting up this new protagonist for him, Sienna, and it deals with her and her family, her mom and her brother, who are not your ideal family, I guess. You know, they've gone through a lot of trauma and stuff like that themselves, and so it's, you see the hero's journey with her character. You see her become this like very Ellen Ripley type of character by the end of the film, which is awesome. So it's just as much her film as it is an arts film, but that doesn't mean art's not in it. He's front and center most of the time. So
this is the Aliens to Alien.
Yeah.
Terrifier 2 is the Terrifier.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're really building up this heroine now. Just because I've been saying, you know, the Joker needs his Batman. Now we get the Batman to this.
And when is this coming out? Because we can't wait to see it. I know that we're worried about the rating, which will not be R.
Yeah, still, see, the thing is, it's taken us a little bit longer because this movie's huge. It's clocking it at over 2 hours right now, and there's no way we can really, you know, edit any more out of it without hurting the film. So it's going to be a long movie. It's probably going to be one of those longer slasher movies ever made. So
awesome. we need longer slasher movies that are great.
Yeah, and it's not boring at all. My God, no. It's, I think, the longest lull in the movie between something crazy happening is maybe 7 minutes. Well, so it's a constant roller coaster.
You like it, David. You think after people see this, they'll look at Terrifier as, yeah, that was quaint, but this is the real.
I do. I kind of look at Terrifier as, you know, a proof of concept type of film. It's just like this is where I feel like we're really finding our feet, and you know, kind of like how Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 was like the film that really cemented the franchise. I feel like this is going to cement the franchise.
I think it's already cemented. I know there's a demand, and mm-hmm. it's going to be out in 2022 at some point.
Yeah, we're hoping for early next year. Right now, Damien's sending it in for color correction. So that's like the final little bits here or there that we're having to do. We might have to go back and do a reshoot for like the one of the final scenes in the movie, because another movie came out recently that kind of stole some of our ideas. And we were like, well, shit, we don't want people to go, oh, you stole their idea. But I think this new idea we have is going to actually surpass what we had originally planned on doing. So I'm like, that's cool. But that's going to be easy reshoot. I think maybe take it like a day or so to film that. And we can, everything else is already edited and stuff like that. So we can easily plug that in. But we're going to start shopping around to distribution around December 1st. That's Damien's goal. So knock on wood.
Let me ask you one question. Because there is, as I said, I heard you on another podcast. And one of the podcast hosts, I think, correctly said, the last horror icon before Art the Clown that really went big was maybe Jigsaw, and I don't even think Jigsaw really on their own sells the merchandise that Art the Clown does. The movies were big.
It's more about the puppet that everybody thinks of. They don't really think of Jigsaw himself,
right? Has Damien had interest from Blumhouse or any of the studios as far as bankrolling a really big money Terrifier sequel?
Not that I know of. That's what's kind of surprised me, because when we're trying to shop Part 2 out, we did shop it around to some studios and stuff like that, but no one was interested, which was crazy. I was like, do you not want to make money? But I think it comes to like Hollywood is trying to play it safe. They are afraid of taking risk right now on anything new, even though like Terrifier was so popular and stuff like that. But I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm like, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen after Part 2 comes out? I'm hoping that Part 2 is going to give this genre a swift kick in the nards that it needs right now to get it back on track. Because I'm so tired of these just pussified movies. I'm like, excuse my language, but it's just like, God. Yeah, it's just like, I saw a recent movie that came out, I'm not going to name it, but it didn't feel like how the franchise used to be at all. And I was just like, people that know me on Facebook know I'm very, you know, liberal minded, but I think some things have gotten too much concerned about pushing some kind of social agenda. And I'm like, instead of just like, just making a movie and let the movie speak for itself, you don't have to hammer things down people's throats. You can just have those concepts in there and let them be. And people are smart enough to see that. You don't have to just push it on them. Just like, let the movie be what it is. Let people have fun.
The Hunt? Is that what you mean?
No, but another one, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying there too, but it's just like, you don't have to force that. The audiences are not stupid. And that's what I liked about the films that came out in, like, you know, even starting with the Night of the Living Dead, there was agendas behind those movies too, but they didn't just slap you in the face with it. They knew their audience was smart enough to pick up on the nuances and the, you know, the social commentary and stuff like that and the symbolism. And they just set out to make a really good movie, to have fun with it and to entertain people. And I think that's what's been lost. Too many people are trying to push some kind of agenda, or, you know, like, this is what we have to hammer into people. It's like, no, you can still, you know, have those themes, but you don't have to just slap people in the face with it. Because I think that the fun that people had with these movies is getting lost because of that.
Yes.
Well, where does the time go? David, you're awesome. I had a really, I don't know about Anna and Mary, but I had a really good time. But I'm going to let them, if they have one more question, go ahead and throw it out. Mary, Hannah, do you have any more questions?
Mary, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Hannah, get the dog out of the way. Let's.
I don't think so either. Or have you ever thought about moving out to California here in LA? Are you a New York guy?
I have been wanting to move out there to LA for forever.
All right. Well, you have friends now.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. I'd love to come out. We'll treat you to the best
damn vegan food in LA.
Yes, we will.
we'll show you where the vegan food is.
I would love it. I've been wanting to move out there for God knows how long. It just, work keeps me here in New York. And I was like, if we're doing part three, I'm probably going to be here for that. But I'm also doing a new franchise too called Stream with a lot of the Terrifier team. And I'm, you know, if I survive this film, I can't say or not, but they're making more films. So it's like, I might be staying in the area longer than I've anticipated, but I'm like, hey, if I can be bi-coastal, I'll be bi-coastal. I don't care. It's like, I would love work to bring me out to LA. So hey, get me some jobs out in LA. I might move out there.
There we go.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. Hear that, audience?
Help hear us that?
Out. So two more things, and then we'll wrap it up. But what does it feel to be a horror icon? I mean, obviously people don't recognize you on the street, but or maybe they do. I don't know. Have you been recognized? People like, Art the Clown, I know you.
It's starting to happen now where people recognize me, and it's still very surreal. It still hasn't really sunk in with me after 3 years. I was like, when I was doing a convention down in Atlantic City a few weeks ago, we were in a different casino getting dinner at one of these like nice restaurants and stuff like that, and there was this couple coming out of the elevator that had nothing to do with the convention, didn't even know we were in town for the convention, and they recognized me even though I was not in costume or anything like that. And I was like wow, someone actually knows what I look like outside of makeup. That's amazing. And it's very surreal to walk around a convention. I hear sometimes overhear people, oh my God, that's Art the Clown. Well, I'm like, it's very surreal. Cause I used to be one of those people going to conventions as well. I was a fanboy. I still am a fanboy. When I'm at these conventions, when I meet these other celebrities, I'm trying to internalize everything instead of going, oh my God.
I mean, you went from being a waiter to probably the biggest horror icon since Robert Englund.
It's insane. And I'm actually going to be at a convention with Robert next week. And I'm like, he was at my very
hard. We tricked it.
Yeah. I did my very first convention. He was at that one. And Damien and I had a brief encounter with him. But I think we were so shy and insecure at that point, we just got so tongue tied. We're just like, hi, we love you. And he made a movie too.
And one more thing, and you may have to say something while you do this, but even without the makeup, can you give me one of those creepy art smiles?
Oh, We get the creepy hand wave too. Love
oh,
it.
Oh, we got the smile, the hand wave. I hope this gets on video, but if it doesn't, well, the three of us saw it. So
yeah. Oh, that yeah. I forget because you know how Zoom is. It's so stupid sometimes.
So you say something while you do it. See if you can.
Yeah. Saying something, 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 wavy, wavy, wavy.
Holy shit, he really is Arthur Conan. So, David, anything you want to promote, let us know how to get a hold of you and what conventions you're going to be at.
Yeah, next week I'm going to be at Spooky Empire in Orlando, and the week after that I'm going to be at Chiller Theater in New Jersey for Halloween weekend, so that's going to be cool. And then I'm going to be doing Days of the Dead in Chicago in mid-November. And I think that's going to be it for me for this year, but I'm doing tons of more conventions. I'm actually going to be doing, hopefully, Days of the Dead out in L.A. next year. That's going to, I think it's going to be the first time in L.A., so we're trying to get me set up for that one, so fingers crossed on that. Because I would love to get out there for.
Yeah, I hope we hope to see you and.
Yeah.
And also get your cameos because I've got a secret, Hannah. When I got the cameo for your birthday, it was between David and the John Kassir from Tales from the Crypt, and it was a coin flip. I'm so sorry, David.
Oh, it's okay. John's great.
Well, I have a cameo from you. I have posted on my social media from Skunk.
That's right. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
but I've seen the cameos that you do and you do great cameos. So go on cameo and get one from David.
Someone order one for me, please.
Mary needs one.
I need one.
When's your birthday, Mary?
June.
June.
Get it for Christmas, somebody.
I don't do Christmas, but for this, I would.
It'll be Festivus.
There you go.
You're welcome. Well, thank you, David. Thank you for being on.
Yes, Mary, thank you so much.
You're Mary and Hannah, tell everybody about Vegans Uncensored.
Vegans Uncensored, we have taken a little hiatus, but we're going to be coming back within the next couple of weeks. So check us out at Vegans Uncensored on Instagram. You can find us on basically any podcast platform. We talk about all things vegan, our love for horror movies, basically anything we want to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's vegan centric, but they talk about a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. And Hannah, just how do people get a hold of you? No, go ahead.
Meat?
Yeah, we just not hold, meat. About meat. No.
I'm Hale Hannah.
What's your
Hannah
favorite
Box?
Cut of prime rib?
No.
No, but what's your favorite cut of the Impossible Burger? Yeah, we talk about that.
Impossible Beyond. You can get a hold of me at Hale Hannah Bach. That's BAKK 666 on Instagram. Or Hannah Bach on Facebook. It's fine either way.
Hannah, what's better, Beyond or Impossible? Mary?
Beyond.
Beyond.
Though it smells a little funky when you cook it.
It's made. Who makes it or how it's made. I like making Beyond at home better, but when I'm out, the Impossible is pretty good.
David, pro tip from me to you. And I think I had a Beyond burger and I thought it was great. But don't put a mask on. And then belch in a mask. It's not a good thing. That's just for me to you. Anyway, I'm Goth Comedian, all social media. We've had a great time. David, you are awesome. Look out for Terrifier 2 in 2022. And everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye, guys.